Well, as they said, today I'm going to conclude the series of joining God's dream team. You know, we talk about dream teams in sports and so forth and so on. In fact, there, you know, the Olympic team, they had the dream team, all the, what year was that? I forgot now. 92, was it? The basketball dream team. On that team was a guy by the name of Michael Jordan. He played for 12 years in the National Basketball Association with the Chicago Bulls. And his personal achievements as a basketball player are unprecedented. 6 times he and his team won the world championship. He was Rookie of the Year in 85. He was 10 times selected to the all-star team for the NBA, the all-NBA first team. I mean, it goes on. He has the highest NBA record for the scoring, averaging 31.5 per game. You know, just on and on and on the list goes. And as we look at this, there's something that I want you to zero in on that he said about after winning all of these accolades and titles and so forth. He said none of these achievements would have been possible without him finding his spot, his place, what he contributed to the team. And also the contributions of the team members around him, Scottie Pippen and I forget all their names. I just remember Scottie's name. And he said, this is what Jordan said. Talents wins games, but teamwork and intelligence wins championships. It was the teamwork that won the championships, not just one doing an extraordinary thing. In fact, one of the championships that they won, the last shot was taken by Jordan had the ball and he passed it to, I believe it was Paxton he passed it to, and he hit the shot for them to win. And it wasn't the superstar that made the shot to win the game, it was one of the team members. And you know, we celebrate here in our humanity, we celebrate the superstar. And they're a lot of times the one that gets all the credit. But what about the rest of the team? What are they going to, what's going to happen if there is just one superstar? In fact, if you listen and to some of the things Jordan says, Jordan scored all of these points and high point score, and his team wasn't winning because he didn't have team members around him. Once they got the team members around him and everybody began to work together, they won. You see, even though there was guys on the team with him, they weren't in the right positions. It wasn't the right combination. And it's just ordinary people working together that produce results. The Miami Dolphins won 13 games in a row, won the championship and so forth and so on. And there wasn't even a superstar on the team. But it was everybody in their position doing what they are supposed to do. I want us to look at the 12 men that Jesus picked out. And I'm going to read it from the NLT because it's a little easier to read. Here are the names of the 12 apostles. First Simon, also called Peter, then Andrew, Peter's brother, James, son of Zebedee, John, James's brother, Philip, Bartholomew, Thomas, Matthew, the tax collector, James, son Alphaeus, Thaddeus, Simon the Zealot, Judas Iscariot, who the one who later betrayed him. And in some, you know, sometimes we think about that God only uses people that are sort of superstar status. Well, I want you to notice there wasn't any of these guys superstar status. In fact, some of them wasn't nothing when Jesus got them. You know, that 92 dream team, they called it, it was all superstars. But the 12 members of Jesus' team was just ordinary people. You know, common people without any distinguishing achievements, without being great philosophers and scholars and orators, and these 12 common people that Jesus chose doesn't try to grammatize or show that they were somebody that they weren't. It's just 12 people. 12 people choosing to follow Jesus. And the Bible is full of their accomplishments. Hello? You see, the important thing is to find your place and to function in the body of Christ. That is where you will experience the anointing, the power, the success in life. But first of all, you got to believe that God created a place for you on his team. You see, 1 Corinthians 12:15-18, I want to read that. It's New King James. If the foot says, because I'm not a hand, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now God has set members, each one of them, in the body, just as he pleased. I want you to notice here that the Apostle Paul, through the Holy Spirit, is using the human body as an example of what and how the body of Christ should operate. And that is, each one has a function. The eye has a function. The ear has a function. The nose has a function. The hand has a function. The foot has a function. The leg has a function. All of the parts, without these, your body does not function properly. Hello? When one part is messed up, it causes problem with the whole body. As most of you know, a year ago this past June, I had knee replacement. But some of you probably noticed that before I had that done, they had to help me up the steps. Because that knee didn't operate properly, it caused my back to have problems. It caused problems with my balance. It caused problems with my body. How many of you understand what I'm saying? Have you had problem with one part of your body and it caused other problems in the body? How many of you realize? Yeah, it will. It will. That's how the body of Christ is. When we all are not functioning where we're supposed to be, it hurts the body. The church. You know, so many people talk about, the pastors and the singers and people, they all get to be seen. Yeah, that's right. But let me tell you something. Without each one of you functioning in your place, there would be no cause for us. You know, the on a football team, and that's we're in the middle of the, right to the end toward the playoffs for the colleges. And it's the quarterback and the running back and somebody that runs out there and catches passes that gets all the credit. They're the ones that's announcers announcing their name. But if it wasn't for old number 77 and 98 and 99 and 56 and 54 down in the trenches, we call it, hitting the guy in front of them, that quarterback wouldn't be doing nothing. You can see what happens when those guys don't block. They get sacked. Everybody has a function. And everybody has a function in the church. All of you have a function on God's dream team. And that's so the church can accomplish what we're supposed to accomplish. It says here, as we're reading this scripture, it says, but God has set members, each one of them in the body, just as he pleased. God knows you better than you know yourself. That's why he's assigned you your place in the body. God knows your deepest dreams and desires. God knows your strengths and your weaknesses. God knows your gifting and talents. You see, some people say, oh, I can't do that. God knows your strengths, and he knows you can, even though you think you can't. God knows your potential and what you're capable of doing. He knows you're capable. He wouldn't ask you to do it if you weren't capable. See, the enemy will try to make you believe that you don't fit. Hello. He'll try to make you believe that you don't fit in, so you might as well leave. When a person is not approved sometimes for a position in the church, the enemy brings feelings of rejection to them. But the truth is, not being approved for one area doesn't mean that you're not approved, won't function well in another area. Most of the time, if you don't get approved for one area, it's because you don't fit there. Hello? You know, when I played football, I mean, I'm 100, back in the 50s now. I mean, I graduated from high school, 6'2", 145 pounds, soaking wet. Now, you don't put me at 145 pounds down in the line against a 200-pounder. Now, they're bigger than that now, but back when I was playing, if you had 200-pound, 250-pounder, that's a biggie. You know, people have gotten bigger and stronger. I mean, I'm not qualified for that position. I'm not going to do any good there. And I could run fast. Okay, where do my talents fit in best? Out here as a receiver, as a running back. Hello, getting out, not running up the middle, running outside, you know, use your speed to get outside. Some guys, they want to play a position so bad that it doesn't do any good because they're not qualified for that position. I did not have the necessary equipment to play in the middle of the line. I tried it a couple of times. It wasn't no fun. 'Cause I got run over. Hello? How many of you guys understand what I'm talking about here? Everybody has, they have strengths, they have weaknesses, they have talents. And what the coach has to do now, and you'll hear people say this all the time about a coach, he's got a lot of talented players, now he's got to get them into right positions. You see, one guy, when Bobby Boyd became an all-pro defensive back for the Baltimore Colts. And several years. He was a year ahead of me in high school, in Garland High School. He went to the University of Oklahoma, played quarterback. But when he went into the NFL, they made a defensive back out of him. And he became an all-pro. At that level, he did not have the talents that it took to be a quarterback. But because he had been a quarterback and he understood quarterbacks, he made a great defensive back because he could think like they were thinking and so forth and so on. You gotta realize that God uses different people in different ways. Whatever your talents are. Hello? He knows better than to try to get me to plan something. I'm not a detail person. In fact, I told some of the ushers something about I wanted change. I told them, okay, you know, I usually have this cup up here with water in it. And that reminds me to take a drink. I told them, I said, hey, it's better. From now on, let's have a bottle up there because we don't have the table there no more. And I can set it down under here and it's easier to drink it out of the bottle. And they said, okay, we'll make that happen. We can do that because we're flexible, because we know you. And my wife said, yeah, said he always changes things at the last minute. But if I want something planned, I have to go to the Lynette and my staff, some of my staff that are planners. That's not what I do. Now I can get up here. You give me a plan and I can talk about it because I'm a talker. Okay? Just ask my kids, my grandkids, anybody knows me. But hey, that's something. All right, now God can take that. It's something I did. It's just me. But God has taken that and he used that, you know. How many understand where I'm coming from? See? These singers up here. No use trying to put them in some other position. They're singers. They're musicians. That's what their talents are. And they can function there. Sometimes you have to learn how to function wherever God puts you. Each one of us must decide to not let the enemy get us upset when we don't get approved for something. You got to realize you got a place on the dream team. It's a matter of finding that place. See, now, look at this in Luke 6:10. You begin where you can, doing what you can. Luke 6:10 says in the New King James, he who is faithful in what is least is faithful. Is faithful also in much, and who is unjust in what is least is unjust also in what is much. I sort of like the way the NLT says it, we understand it a little better. If you are faithful in little things, you will be faithful in large ones. But if you are dishonest in little things, you won't be honest with greater responsibilities. See, in God's kingdom, little things that a person does are vitally important. Sometimes what you do may look insignificant, but it reveals whether or not you can be trusted with bigger things. You know, I mean, when I was an associate pastor cutting grass, putting tar on the roof, digging foundations for a youth and Sunday school building, taking and cleaning the traps out in the restroom and even changing and putting new urinals on the wall, you know, doing all sorts of things like that, they didn't have anything to do with preaching. But they had a lot to do with me getting to where I am here today. See, if you're not willing to do the little things and be faithful there, God can't put you in a different position. Oh, now y'all don't like that, do you? I didn't get very many amens. See, we need to understand that every person has to start somewhere in order to accomplish. If you're going to accomplish something great in life, you got to start somewhere. You don't start at the top. How many of you have ever climbed a ladder? How did you get to the top? You started at the bottom. It's strange to me that in business and working our jobs and doing those sort of things, people understand starting in a lower position and working your way up and going up, but they don't. With God, they want to start at the top. Do you understand that as you work your way up, you get experience, you get know-how, you understand more how God operates in different areas so that you are ready for that responsibility? Oh, this is, I mean, I'm getting down in there where you live today. And you don't get many amens when you don't get people excited. Be willing to volunteer somewhere. Just get busy doing something. Even if you do not consider it important, if you think it's insignificant, God taps busy people. Now, I've sat in a lot of minutes, talked with a lot of ministers. And when ministers get together, pastors and ministers get together, they talk about ministry things. And in every case, every time I've had talked with a group of pastors, it seems, and one guy said this, and all the rest of them joined in. It seems like if you, this one guy said, it seems like if you want a job done, go find a business person in the church, and you can be sure it'll get done. Did you ever notice that people that are busiest at work are usually the ones that get promoted? Boy, it's quiet now, that's for sure. You know, you ever tried, you know, the car won't run, so you're pushing it, and you ever tried to steer that car? You get it moving, and you can't hardly turn it. You know, it's harder to get somebody to do something when they're not doing anything. Sometimes, if people are doing something, then you can get them going. But if they're not doing anything, it's hard to get somebody motivated, hard to get them going. You know what I mean? How many understand what I'm saying to you? You see, as we continue working in the church, maybe doing this, maybe doing that, maybe doing something else, it will eventually help you to find out where you really fit. But the secret is, do something. You know, when I was playing on teams and everything, and the coach, he said, "Hey, I need somebody. Hey, I need somebody to do this. Hey, coach, I'll do whatever you want me to do, I'll do. It doesn't make no difference. I'll play here, I'll play there, I'll do whatever." Guess what? I might not have been the best, I might not have been the most talented, but I got to play. Because I was willing to do whatever was necessary. I was willing to, if he needed somebody here to do this, I was willing to do it. No, it wasn't as much fun as running out and catching a pass and everybody cheering you. But hey, if he needed me to get back here and block, then okay, nobody ever pays attention hardly to the guy that makes the block that sets the guy down the sidelines for a touchdown. Hello. In fact, as I was watching ball last night, they zeroed in on a wide receiver, and he made the block that let the guy go for the touchdown. Now nobody said anything about that. They all cheering the guy that ran for 40, 50 yards. But he wouldn't have ran that 40, 50 yards if it hadn't been for that one guy doing something that nobody hardly noticed. People in the stands didn't notice it. The guy running with the ball noticed it. His coach noticed it. Hello? See, you may be doing something that you think is insignificant, but God has noticed it. And because of that, something is accomplished. It seemed insignificant that a man by the name of Kenneth Turner, teaching a bunch of junior boys, 9 through 11 years old, and he would go out and gather up boys and bring them in. And then he had this one mischievous kid named Kenneth Hagin in his class. It seemed insignificant what Kenneth was doing, but he had no idea where I would be today. You that work in with those children and over in the nurseries and the children and the youth, you have no idea where those young people are headed, where those kids are going to wind up. But it's because that Kenneth Turner took a group of boys. My dad was out traveling preaching, and he took us camping, and we went coon hunting with his coon dogs. You know, and he would talk to us about God. And we'd be out there camping out, and he'd open up a big old can of pork and beans and put some bacon, and I don't know what else he put in there. But, you're hungry out there anyway. It's good. But you see, nobody, he didn't understand. And at his funeral, my wife will tell you, hundreds of young men, businessmen, that were leaders in the city where he taught those boys. Businessmen, leaders, people that had accomplished great things. But this man was teaching seemed insignificant what he was doing. Nobody paid a lot of attention to him. Oh, he's just a Sunday school teacher. No, he wasn't just a Sunday school teacher. He was in his place on the team doing what he could, and because of that, there were I don't know how many people today can look back and say, Kenneth Turner influenced my life. Will somebody be able to look back and say you influenced their life because you were a part of the team doing a job? See, when you're in your place doing what you can, you will bring increase to the body of Christ. Now, you may not see that increase. Kenneth Turner didn't live to see the full increase in my life. And I'm using me because I don't want to use you because you wouldn't like that. So I talk about me. But you see, the body of Christ received increase because I'm doing what I'm doing. Is the body of Christ receiving increase because of what you're doing? Or is there no increase because you're just sitting on the pew? All of us need to be involved somewhere doing something. Now, I got to have some of you in there, you know, sitting on the pew, but that doesn't mean that you're not supposed to be working somewhere. What about all our choir members? What about all these people up here? What about all the ushers? What about the people right now that's in there working with the kids? What about the parking lot people that were out in the rain this morning? And the cold. What they do, nobody pays attention to, but it is very significant to the body. I want you to turn to your neighbor and say, it doesn't matter what you do. We all must be busy in the body for the whole body to be well and have increase. You know, somebody, hey, take, all right, you don't want me up here singing. That's not my talent. Now, occasionally, if you hit the note hard enough and I can hear it, I can slide onto the key. Sometimes on a crusade, if we're singing and I want a song and I get over close to Rich, and if I get over and I can hear him, he says that I will slide and get on key then. But before that, I'm not where I'm supposed to be. That's not my talent. See, you know, somebody said, well, I don't know what my talent is. Well, hey, ask God. Ask some friends and neighbors. They might be able to help you. But don't get mad when they tell you that you're not talented to do what you want to do. The problem is that God has a place for everybody, but the problem is that a lot of people want to get out of what their talent is. Y'all have heard me use it before, but I'll use it again because Brother Howard Pillars has been an usher in this church since the first service in 1985. And he still serves. But he told me one time, I don't know whether he's here this morning or not, but they're probably off today. But he told me one time, he said, where is he? Where, Brother Harold? Stand up, Brother Harold. There you are. He usually sat back here. That's why I didn't see him. He told me one time, he said, and I told him, I appreciate it. You know, he said it his way, appreciate you. I appreciated him serving. He said, Pastor, this is what I do. And he found his place. He ushers on Sunday night, or he's usually ushering on Sunday night back there. But you see, he found his place. He's been there 30 years. Now let me ask you a question. How many of you have come in the door and Harold, you wasn't feeling that well and you started down and Harold said, appreciate you, and it lifted you up? Let me see your hand. See there? Now, to everybody else, that's insignificant. But to God, it's not. Because Harold's doing his job. You see, look at first. We read 10:2, but I want to go back and read 10:1. Okay? We started off by reading 10:2, right? Now look at 10:1. And when he had called his 12 disciples to him, he gave them power over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all kinds of sicks and all kinds of diseases. Now, the NLT says it like this. Jesus called his 12 apostles together and gave them authority to cast out evil spirits and to heal every kind of disease and illness. A lot of times the word is translated power, but it should be translated authority. He gave 12 men authority to do something. Right? And when they went out and did it, it accomplished something for the kingdom of God. You see, They just didn't go home and sit down and say, well, praise the Lord, God called me, he has anointed me. Oh, hallelujah. What's her name says hallelujah. Me, Medea. Now some people don't realize it, but if you've ever read any of Tyler Perry's testimony and so forth, what he's trying to do with that talent is to point people and tell them there's a way out. And if you ever notice, every one of his deals has God is the way out in it. Anybody ever notice that? It's a subtle thing, but that's what he's trying to do. But he's touching some people that I never touch or no other preacher to ever touch. Hello. So let's don't get down on somebody until we know the whole story. Hello? You ought to do that on anybody with anything. See, each one of us is empowered, is anointed, has the authority. See, if they just said, home, oh, hallelujah, I got the power. No. Out of place, you don't have any empowerment. You don't have any anointing. In place, where God puts you, you're anointed to do something. You know, I've heard it said, and I think they paraphrased it. This may be the true quote. I cannot do the thing. I can do things you cannot, and you can do things I cannot. Together we get great things. We can do great things. Mother Teresa, I've heard it said, I can't do what you can do and you can't do what I can do, but together we'll get the job done. That's just a paraphrase of, I guess, what she said. But let me say this. I can't do what you can do. You can't do what I can do. But if each of us will join together and get involved with the team, we can win. There are no big I's and little U's. It's all of us working together. Working together as the team, the church. Are you ready to join God's dream team, the church, and get involved with whatever it is? Hello. I mean, there's people that are involved in different jobs. You know, Lyle Becknell, he works up there usually in the media room up there in the TV area, but he also is a mechanic on the Jesus Bird. That's our aircraft. That's what I call it, the Jesus Bird. You know, may seem insignificant, but it's important. David Fusell, it's part of this church. Scott Redman, as part of this church, are our pilots. What they do is very significant because they get me where I need to go to preach and they get me back here. But everybody talks about the pilots, but nobody ever talks about Lyle and David Monquist. He's also a Rhema grad. That's the mechanics on that aircraft that keep it up and keep all the records. I mean, you'd be surprised how many records have to be kept daily on that aircraft. And I could go through and name person after person that does things. They may seem insignificant to you, but they're not insignificant to God. I want you to realize that God has a place for you on the team. Now get up and get with it, and we will fill this auditorium up. I can't do it by myself, neither can the staff, but if each of us will work hard and do what we can do, we can fill this building every Sunday morning. How many of you are with me on that? If you are, stand up. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Did anybody get anything out of this series on joining God's dream team? You know, I missed one statement that I was going to read, and I guess I just skipped over it. Let me find that. It's from a person that we all know. It's out of one of his books. Where is that? Let me find it here. Here it is. It's out of Tony's book, Your Place on God's Dream Team, page number 16. They were common, talking about Jesus' disciples. They were common people with regular lives. They had not distinguished them as great philosophers, scholars, orators, or achievers. Scripture makes no attempt to glamorize these 12 men. Instead, we see them all in their raw humanity. Hey, you may not be what the world would consider somebody, but on the team, God's dream team, you are somebody. Very, very significant. Heavenly Father, as we've spoken this morning and over these past few weeks about the church, may we all begin to understand the significance that each of us plays, no matter where we're at. And Father, I pray that you'd help each and every one of us to get involved in our position so that the church can accomplish what you have set it in order to accomplish. I thank you for it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, you may be in this place today. And the first way of getting on the team is to find salvation. After that, then you find your place on the team. But if you're here today and you've never made Jesus Christ the Lord and Savior of your life, or you're here today and you know what it is to serve God, but you know you're not where you're supposed to be and you just need to rededicate your life to God. Or you're here and you say, I go to church, but I don't know whether I have ever actually accepted Christ or not. Anybody on any one of those three invitations, you want to get on the team, let me see your hand. Where are you at? Anyway, you need Christ. Need to rededicate your life. You need to know so experience with God. Anybody, anywhere in this room. Anybody, anywhere. Let me see your hand right now. Anybody. Heavenly Father, I thank you today. I see no hands. But if there happens to be one person in this place that's in any one of the three categories that I named, Father, may the Holy Spirit go with them as they leave this place, and may they not be able to do anything and be at peace at anything until they stop and accept you as Lord and Savior of their life. I thank you for it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Praise God, praise God. Hey, connection team, would you please go and find somebody, your first-time guest, and take them to the room, please, right now. Nobody else move unless you have to. We fixing to let you go. Nobody unless you have to right now. Find the connection team people. Praise God. Well, tonight, 6:00, be here. Wednesday night, hour of power, be here. Praise the Lord. Hey, we need holiday food for our We Care Center. We need help with the lights. Hey, look in that bulletin and you'll find a lot of places that you can get involved. See, all of these are things you can get involved with I just talked about. All right? Praise God. We'll see you tonight. See you Wednesday night. Have a great week. Praise God. I'll see you Wednesday night. All right, let's sing. Oh.